Sean Callanan now. Our digital sports guru joins us every Saturday at what his field of dreams might be. G'day, Sean. How are you?
G'day, Frank. Well, other than MCG, I mean, that shows a bit of bias to Melbourne. From a baseball perspective, I actually have been to Wrigley Field, and it's the stadium in the States that most reminds me of the MCG.
What about it reminds you of the MCG?
You pretty much just walk in there, and you're just the history and the, you know, you can just feel it just wraps you up.
I think there's two ways you can go with this. I think the really big venues are super impressive, and they're overwhelming in their size and their stature and their history. And the MCG certainly got that about it. But sometimes the smaller venues are the ones that capture your heart. I'm sure Fenway Park's like that for me because it's a tiny track. It's a very small ballpark, really. A bit like, and I'm an Arsenal person too, having the good fortune of going to Highbury a few times over the years. Very small, compact ground, beautiful Art Deco grandstand.
And it is something that all the, especially all the baseball stadiums, all the refurbs and the getting the new stadiums built. Last time I went to New York, I went to both Yankee Stadium and the new Mets Stadium. Both new stadiums. The Yankees went with a complete, almost carbon copy. It's unusual, isn't it?
Explain it, because it's not on the same side, is it?
It's across the road.
It's across the road,
but it's effectively a carbon copy, and it looks a little bit like a Coliseum. There's a lot of concrete, and it really doesn't have... They tried to replicate it, and they really couldn't. Whereas the new Met Stadium, they did it in that vintage style and used a lot of the pieces of the era. And so it looks like an old stadium, but it's got all the new amenities, and it does have that old style ballpark feel. So, it's sort of like comparing MCG to the Docklands Stadium, you know, in amenities wise, it's just a matter of getting it right.
So send through your tweets, hashtag grandstand, your field of dreams, the venue, the sports venue. It doesn't have to be a professional sports venue. A lot of people have a very, very deep and affectionate ties to their local sports fields, whether they played there or their kids did or whatever it is. Hashtag grandstand, let us know where it is. The other one in the United States that I really love is AT&T Park or in San Francisco, home of the Giants, is a team that I also have a bit of a soft spot for. Magnificent vista when you're sitting up in the stands there out across San Francisco Bay on a sunny day. It's like the happiest place on earth.
Yeah, definitely. It's one of the ones I haven't been to. It's on my stadium bucket list.
It's a beauty. We're talking to you about social media today, of course, in sport, and sometimes we focus a lot on the negative and the trouble that people get themselves into using social media platforms, but sometimes it actually can be a really powerful tool for niceness instead of evil, Maxwell Smart would say.
Yeah, exactly. We had a pretty good example of this earlier the week when I saw, I think I actually saw your tweet initially and retweeted it. Ben Holyoake, who passed away and was an English cricketer, had his English kit stolen from his parents' home in Perth. So someone broke in, and whether they did it deliberately or it was just a break in, and they've stolen all his English gear.
Because Ben died, I think, about 10 years ago. I think it was in a car accident in Perth. And so his parents had kept his kit as a keepsake, very precious keepsake for his career as a professional cricketer.
So I think he played two tests and 20 or so one days for England.
With his brother as well, Adam.
The English cricket community, so Michael Vaughan and Alex Stewart and, you know, a lot of the guys that play with him started tweeting, hey guys, find Ben's kit, ask everyone to retweet it. Australian cricket personalities, Warney, Damien Fleming and the like did the same. And so it was obviously trending on Twitter, but it did provide a little bit of an action, a bit of awareness for everybody, because most people wouldn't have known it. It would have maybe made the England papers and maybe the Perth papers. And then luckily enough, a couple of days later, because they really put the alert out to say, hey, if you find this stuff on eBay or someone's trying to offload it, a couple of days later, both they found the guys who did it and they found the kit and it was returned. So sort of one of those good stories to, you know, get awareness. And also it's about, you know, what we were talking about last week, getting a story that you want out on, you know, in the press and getting a bit more publicity.
What it shows is that communities coalesce really quickly around things that are of, if you've got a like-minded cause or an interest with people, you can coalesce a community really quickly around that. And incredible resource. I mean, in my gig here, working as a professional sports broadcaster, the connections you can make with other journalists and broadcasters and people of who can actually be part of the show or give you information and insight from a first-person perspective of being at games and being at press conferences and the like, it's extraordinary reach. And it really has changed the way broadcasting works. And in this instance, it's worked.
The thing is, everyone can have their own niche. Yeah. So, you know, it might, you know, if you didn't hear it from one of the players themselves, you might hear it from a follower who's mad for cricket. and he's always giving you your cricket information. So he's my cricket expert. It's not, I'm not waiting for the cricket segment on Grandstand. It's this Twitter follower that's always giving me the best Twitter cricket info. So, you know, people can develop niches and become these, you know, curators of content and pass it on.
Well, in that sense, it's very egalitarian too, isn't it? As you said, you know, looking at the tweets, there was Adam Holyoake, Ben's brother, who was tweeting through, Alex Stewart. I mean, I sent my retweet out. You did as well. We're all having the same impact. And you're having a conversation with these people who are professional sports people who you previously probably wouldn't have access to, not only just to talk to them, but also to, you know, to work in unison with them, even if they're, you know, not cognizant of that you're doing it. But it is really a really egalitarian experience.
And it gives them, you know, goes back to that, you know, the ability that for athletes to be role models, whether they're pushing a charity or trying to push a cause, or in this case, you know, just find a mate's kit because someone's gone and broken into his parents' house. Well, so another one that I caught via Twitter, and the Wallabies did a good job in one telling everyone about Michael Liner, who's had a stroke and is still critical in hospital at the moment. But they sent out a tweet saying, "Hey, send Noddy," which is Michael Liner's nickname. Send a tweet, get well, Noddy, and we'll pass it on to the family. You know, it's not going to help him get better, but it does going to rally the rugby community, send their messages of support. I'm sure, you know, as the guys at the AAU hand over pages and pages of tweets to the family, it will mean a lot to the Liner family just to see that he's getting a lot of support. And, you know, we send out our best wishes to the family, but it's just another way to, one, get the information out, because, you might check the newspapers and not find that information. So it's a way for teams, you know, in this case the AAU, make sure that the rugby community knows that one of their own is in a bit of trouble.
Yeah, certainly they did rally around Michael. We spoke with Andrew Slack, his former teammate, yesterday on the program, and he is recovering, but he's got a long way to go after suffering that stroke earlier in the week. Have you got a podium for us today?
Well, just one more on the for good. We did speak about 4 weeks ago, Coney 2012, Cover the Night was last night. And I just, as I was driving in, I did see, obviously, some kids had still rallied to the cause, and I did see a couple of Coney 2012 posters up around Melbourne. So I don't know if anyone else joined in the fun of promoting the Coney 2012. We discussed that when they brought out the YouTube clip. So be interesting to see if anyone else and how it goes in America.
Just on that, they've posted a second film, haven't they? A follow-up to the original Coney 2012.
Yeah, because there was some concerns and people worried about the funding and stuff, so they've sort of done that. And even the founder had a little bit of a crazy time there and got a bit caught up with his celebrity. But, yeah, the Cover of the Night actually went through, you know, last night here, and it'll be in the States tomorrow. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of coverage it gets in America tomorrow.
Sean Callanan's with us, our digital sports guru here on Grandstand Breakfast. We always have a podium of 3, 2, and 1 for those in the digital space on Twitter and other social media who've done interesting things this week. What have you got for us?
So what I want to do is go away from Twitter and have a quick look at Pinterest. Dion Bennett did a really good article on Sports Geek on how sports teams are using Pinterest. So we talked about Pinterest as a way to share photos and stuff. And so the bronze medal goes to Man City. And if you check out one of their boards, they have a board called City Tattoos, and there is one of the most gruesome tattoos you've ever seen in your life there, with effectively the Manchester City logo tattooed onto the guy's heart.
It's
pretty full on. The Anaheim Ducks have done a pretty good job on Pinterest as well. They actually share the tweets and Facebook posts and things that the fans are doing. But one of the ones that is leading the way and doing really well in the digital space is the Boston Celtics. Sharing stacks of boards and even running pin it competitions. So they're even starting to gamify the space and have a little bit of fun in it.
Pin it to win it.
Pin it to win it, yeah.
They got that one first.
Yeah, exactly. So beauty. Everyone will be following them. But, check out sports on Pinterest there. And we've got the article there on sportsgeek.com.au.
Remind us what Pinterest is, because it's a bit different to Instagram, isn't it?
So Pinterest is a pin board. So as you find photos and things that you like, you pin them to boards. And so, like I said, Manchester City might have a City Tattoos. A lot of the teams are doing pets who follow us. And so they should pin pets, dogs and cats that are wearing the colours. They do baking goods. They share merchandise.
So it's more over subject matter. You can direct towards subject matter.
Exactly. So it's a real visual medium. So you pin pictures that you like to that you know fit your brand, and then people repin them to their boards because they're fans of your team. So it's a real you just surf along, look at all these pictures. They're pretty. I like that one. I repin that one. It's driving a lot of traffic back to websites, and so the sports teams are starting to delve into it.
Good on you, Sean. Good luck with the Magpies today.
Thank you very much, and good luck with Oh, maybe Arsenal. Yeah. You haven't had a good
I haven't given up this
so
one quite yet. It's New York 6, Boston 2, top of the 8th. No outs and a man on second for the Yankees at the moment. But, yeah, it hasn't been a great start to the year for the Red Sox. But this game and over the next few days might be crucial to their season, given that it is the 100th anniversary of Fenway Park. You'll have to get there one day.
I will. I'll hopefully be there in August for a conference. So I'm looking forward to it.
By then, it could be ugly by then if they keep playing the way they are. Remind people how they can find you at sports. SportsGeek.com.au.
That's it, SportsGeek.com.au, SportsGeekHQ, or Sean Callanan on Twitter.
He's everywhere. Sean Callanan, our digital sports guru here on Grandstand Breakfast.